Shalom again, everybody. I'm Bill Cloud, and welcome to our latest installment of Hebrew Treasures. Today, we're going to be looking at the word tamim, which is tav mem yud mem, tamim, which is most often translated as being perfect. Technically, the word is in its masculine plural form because it comes from the root word tamam, spelled tav mem mem. And remember, we read Hebrew from right to left. So it's tav mem mem sofit, or the final form of the letter mem, which is a root word that means lacking nothing. In fact, it can mean to cease. You can stop now because there's nothing lacking. That's the idea. Now, considering the root meaning, and considering that tamim is written in its plural form, technically speaking, I'm going to suggest to you that this alludes to the idea that spiritual perfection is not one-dimensional. And what I mean by that is it's not this or that. It can be this and that. Let me explain to you what I mean by reading you some scripture. Matthew chapter 19. Now behold, one came and said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And so he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is, God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Yeshua said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Yeshua said to him, "If you want to be perfect," and I'm going to suggest to you that Hebrew word would be tamim, "go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The point is here that in order for him to be tamim, to be perfect, he had to accomplish more than just this. That is, more than just keeping the commandments. He also had to accomplish that. In this case, selling his possessions, giving it away to the poor, and then following Messiah. Or shall I put it this way? Dying completely to himself. Dying most specifically to those things that were the most important things to him, his material wealth. So the concept of tamim is being perfect, but it's also being whole. It's being completed, requiring nothing more, lacking nothing. Remember, he asked, "What do I still lack?" And Yeshua told him what he lacked, but he backed away from it. But when we are tamim, we, instead of stopping at that point, when we realize there is something we lack, we try to overcome that impediment, that fault in us, so that there will be nothing lacking, so that nothing is missing, that we will be whole. I find it interesting that the high priest carried with him or wore upon his vestments what was called in Hebrew Urim v'Tumim, literally the lights, Urim, and perfections. Tumim. And interesting because the word tumim is spelled exactly the way we would see tamim. Tav, mem, yud, mem. It's the same word, it's just pronounced a little differently. Now, some traditions suggest that the Urim v'Tumim was synonymous with the breastplate. And of course, the breastplate had those 12 stones corresponding to the 12 tribes of Israel. And so, here's why I'm bringing it out. It was really important that all 12 stones, 12 tribes, were represented by the high priest to the Creator when he went in to inquire what Israel was to do, or when he went on the day of Yom Kippur to atone for Israel's sins. So tumim, in that regard, suggests that none of the stones were missing, or none of the tribes were missing. And so if we look at this corporately, the 12 stones representing the 12 tribes, all of God's people had to be where they were supposed to be, and I would add to that, in one mind and in one accord, for everything to be whole, for it to be lacking nothing. If we look at this concept on an individual level, it means that all areas of our life have to be addressed, and those things that we lack, we need to We need to overcome. We need to be whole in that regard as well. And so if we are tamim, we have engaged those things and we have overcome. The Septuagint version, that is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Scriptures, renders urim as aletheia. And I hope I'm saying that correctly. But that's the Greek word for truth. And it renders tumim as osiotis. And again, I hope I'm saying that properly. But that's the word in Greek for holiness. And so urim and tumim is truth and holiness. Holiness, of course, is self-denial, denying yourself in all aspects of life. And that's why the Creator gives us His instructions. So we will know what the boundaries are, what kind of people we are to be, so that we might be tamim. Unfortunately, in the case of the young ruler, what we see is his completion required him to do something that he wasn't willing to do. You see, he had been keeping the commandments, even from his youth. But those are the things that would be evident to all around him. But he was also called upon to die to those things that were internal, those things that only he and the Creator knew about, if he was going to be tamim. You see, the word tamim is used many times in conjunction with the sacrifices in regard to their suitability or their being qualified to be a sacrifice, that is to say, without blemish. Let me read an example of this for you in Exodus 12. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb. Of course, this is referring to the Pesach lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it, according to the number of the persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. And that Hebrew word is tamim, a male of the first year. Of course, in this case, the imperfections would, we would assume, be typically outward, those outward defects that everyone could see. However, it does not exclude the fact that he is expecting the Pesach lamb to be without blemish internally as well. It had to be exempt from any defects that weren't visible to the naked eye. The animal couldn't be diseased. He couldn't have any known defects of any kind, outwardly or inwardly. He had to be tamim, demonstrating to us that in order to be perfect, we can't do this and we can't attain this solely by keeping the commandments. Yes, that's a part of it, but it's not exclusively how we attain this tamim state of being. Nor is it attained by just being a good person, you know, someone who would go and sell all of their possessions, give the proceeds to the poor, and then go into the ministry. It is attained by going all the way, being willing to die to everything that would keep us from being the person that God has called us to be. That's the only way we're going to come to this place where we are considered to be tamim. Abraham gives us an example of such a man. I mean, he was called to come out of the land of the Chaldees. He was called to leave his country, his family, even his father's house, and he did that. Still, the Creator spoke to him later and said this, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be perfect. And that word, once again, is tamim. And I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Now, we're going to make the presumption that if it were not possible for Abraham to be tamim, then God would not have called him to be tamim. Notice that even though he had left country, family, and father's house, God still is challenging him to be tamim and to walk before him, which suggests, at least to me, that at that point in time, he wasn't. I don't know this for certain, but might it be or have something to do with the fact that tamim, to be whole, to be complete, lacking nothing, is also a word that is translated as being honest, having integrity. Because even though Abraham was a great man of faith, there was a time in his life, specifically when he was in Egypt and in fear of his life, that he told all the Egyptians that Sarah was simply his sister, not his wife. Not exactly what you would call integrity, not exactly what you would call being honest. Still, we understand that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. Which brings us to the point about tamim, that, well, it means also being innocent. How does one who has already been deemed as being guilty become innocent? And this, I believe, is what is to accentuate what Messiah has done for us, because we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, which is exactly why the Messiah had to be innocent. He had to be without any spot or blemish. And yet, even though because of him, you and I can be forgiven of our sins, it says that he is returning for a bride that is without spot and without blemish. That suggests to me that he's coming for a bride that is tamim, that is given the same challenge that was given to Abraham, to walk before God and to be tamim, to be lacking nothing. Now, the root word tamam, tav mem mem, it means, as I mentioned to you earlier, to cease. It means to something that comes to an end. It's finished. It doesn't require anything else. There's nothing missing. Everything is complete. I'm not of the opinion that in this life, on this side of the kingdom, that any of us are going to attain that state. We're always going to be needing something. However, we are given the promise that when we see him, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in that instant, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that we will be tamim. In that day, we will be like him, meaning that we'll be whole, we'll be complete, we'll be without blemish, we'll be innocent, we'll be honest, we'll be pure, we'll be holy, we'll be perfect. Until then, we're striving to follow his example of being tamim, to walk before the Lord, and to, when faced and challenged with it, to embrace what needs to happen in our lives and to overcome the impediments that would keep us from continuing down this path toward God's perfection for us. Well, I hope you've enjoyed our little word study today on the word tamim, and I hope that your goal will be as mine, to every day to do the best we can as the Creator gives us strength, because we can do all things through the Messiah who strengthens us, to be what he's created us to be those people who are tamim. See you next time. Shalom.
Like what you're hearing? Become a BillCloud Premium Partner to watch or listen to hundreds of hours of teachings and resources on demand. Go to BillCloud.com/subscribe to start watching today.